This is our first service in 2011. I'm sure for another 3 to 4 months we'll be still writing 2010. Wish you all a happy new year. Once again, some of you missed last night watch night service. We had an amazing, wonderful worship service. It's another day and another year. As Gerald mentioned, new year and another year doesn't make a big difference as long as God makes the difference. Everything is the same, you know. We are just entering into a year. We see in the Bible new beginnings. New beginnings are excellent. But for us, a new beginning doesn't make any difference unless we have God with us. That is what I'm going to discuss today. And in the next few weeks, we will be talking in this theme, how we can have a relationship with God that makes difference in our lives. Before I move forward, I'd like to really recognize our visitors, those who are visiting us for the first time and visiting us after some time. Welcome to Crossroad Church family. This is more than a traditional church. This is a family. This is a place of friendship and fellowship. We don't need to be stiff. We don't need to be too formal. We desire that this place will give you an environment where you can express yourself, whoever you are. And also, I'm so glad to see Lisa here. She was ill for the last 2-3 days, but God has brought her here. And if you can remember her in your prayers, that will be excellent, that she will experience God's healing touch in her body. And all the medications that she takes, she will respond, and she will experience strength in her body. Last night, we left here around 2:30. The place was really packed. We had that testimony time. I like testimonies. And I'm desiring next year, you know, you will have more testimonies here. We will have more testimonies here. You know, that shows how God worked in our lives and giving God the glory. And whenever we come to God's presence, we should have that testimony. It is a story of God. And your life and my life are a story of God's goodness. We will not be here, or we will not be what we are, had it not been for the Lord. So we will just give thanks to the Lord. Even today after the service, if you get a chance, just talk to people and just thank the Lord for your life and their life. Yesterday, because of our testimony time that extended, I could not really complete my sermon. But this is what we like to see in 2011. That we will seek God and His righteousness. We will seek God and His righteousness in 2011. I'm pretty sure that is going to make a big difference. More than anything else. And Jesus did the same thing to His disciples. And whatever Jesus spoke to disciples is recorded for our benefit, not for the benefit of the disciples. And if Jesus were to look at you and me today, and He will tell the same thing. Seek His kingdom, you know, seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. Then all these things shall be added. What are these things? What are the antecedent of these that are going to be added? That was my discussion yesterday. Some of the materials that we go after, money that we so need. Without money, we cannot survive. Without house, we cannot be comfortable. We need clothes, and we cannot deny that. Jesus is not against money. Or Jesus is not against wealth, and Jesus is not against any of the things that, you know, we need. But He's against the attitude with which we go after them. Preoccupation for money and obsession for wealth. If we were to look at people, that is what everyone is running after, and including some of us. Day and night, we are obsessed with wealth and preoccupied by money. And in Matthew chapter 6, there are a few words Jesus highlights. One is storing up. It means, you know, not being content. So we just store and store to store. We have to work so hard, obsessed with collection of or accumulation of wealth. Then two masters. He talks about two masters. You either serve me or serve mammon. You cannot serve two masters. But you know, if you look at some of us, that is what we have been doing. And Jesus also says that you are so much worried. In my case, that is true. But you know, it is not true anymore. But I can slip into that trap if I don't really heed to what we discussed last night. Is I can be worried about what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to feed my family tomorrow? What kind of job am I going to do? You know, what kind of house I'm going to live? You know, we are never satisfied with all these things. So we store, we serve two masters, or we are worried. And this is the malady. This is the illness. Jesus is giving a remedy from these illnesses by saying, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. What is this seeking? That is not my sermon, but before I go to the next one, I'd like to really, brush up what we discussed last night. Is what is this seek? It is given in present imperative. That means, something that you need to be doing now, you need to be doing tomorrow, 1 year from now, 10 years from now, as long as you live, you keep seeking God and His interest first as and foremost. So I asked a question, what is this seeking? It's very simple. Is every day getting up and asking God, God, how can I seek you? Searching for Him. Not for our material benefits, not for our selfish interest, but for who He is. You know, I told you the example of people who seek after me when I go to India. And also, I sought after my dad, not because he was giving me so much, but I sought after God, my father, because he is my father. And he used to tell me a lot of stories about hunting, stories about his time in the court. Sometime, you know, he would tell in such a way that I would so go so close to him. And I like that to happen in our life, is seeking God this year for who He is. Seeking doesn't happen automatically. It is a determination. It is an effort. You know, we say, I'm going to seek God. And if we are going after work and studies and accumulation of things, it doesn't happen. It is a determination. It is a decision we make. Energy is involved. Determination is involved. So there are few practical things we can do. One, every day get up and ask God, God, how can I seek you today? Seek after Him. Because I think it is Psalm 40. It says, if you seek me, you will find me. Lot of us are serving God, giving to God, hosting meetings for God, but they are not equivalent to seeking God. Seeking God is one-on-one. You seek for yourself this Heavenly Father. When you seek Him, He's so close. But we have to seek Him. We cannot see Him with His physical eyes. We cannot touch Him with our physical body. But we can still seek after Him. You know, the practical thing is set aside some quality time, maybe three times a week. And you say, I'm going to turn off my TV, I'm going to turn off my cell phone completely, and I'm going to close my door if possible, and I'm going to just seek God. Maybe you can just stay quiet and pray to Him, or read Scripture. That is one way you can do it. And another way is fasting once a month. As I told you yesterday, we will not fast to twist God's hand to give us some prosperity, but we will seek, in the sense, suspending all our cravings and, you know, helping the energy that is used to for digestion, that we use that energy to seek after God. We show, Lord, we are so much interested in knowing You, getting close to You. The way You approach Him, He will come out to you because He is your Heavenly Father. And you seek after His interest. You say, Father, what is Your interest? What one thing that You are so passionate about? You know, in the Old Testament, we see He was so passionate about widows, orphans, and strangers. And He was so passionate about His people. And He was so passionate about His name. The same way we can ask, Lord, what is one thing You are so passionate about? God will say, you know, He will say different things. But one thing is lost souls. He wants to use you and me to go and reach them. So we can seek after God, which is so important. And that is why I read yesterday in Matthew chapter 6, there are at least six places Jesus says, your Heavenly Father knows what you need and He will give it to you. Six times. In one way or other, He tells, He is interested in your material well-being, your financial well-being, your social well-being. You don't need to be obsessed with it. You don't need to be preoccupied with it. So as a family, we have decided, even before my son left home 2 days back, I spent time with him and I was telling him, see, this year, you can be busy with so many things, but one thing you need to do is seek after God. And my desire is that we all will seek after Him. Now, there are a lot of decisions that we make. We will not be able to complete it. After 3 days, 4 days, we just fall short. But this one, as you seek more of Him, He will come more to you. The more you go after Him, He will come so close to you. And that is going to give you all the benefits, beginning from your spiritual benefit. You will experience the Father's love so much and Father's presence so much. And He will teach you things that you have not learned. And as we go close to God, and we will realize, man, the things that I was going after all these years are not that important. You know, if you get a chance, please read Psalm 73, where psalmist was really thinking about, you know, he looked at powerful people, wealthy people, and finally he comes to God's presence and he says, Lord, they are in slippery place, but I'm so glad that I know You. You are my God. Psalm 73. But today, I'm going to speak from Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is a very small psalm. You know, today is the least attended worship service of the year. Anywhere you go, the first Sunday or Saturday of a year is the least attended. So we thought we will just finish our service quickly so that we can go back and rest. I will try to finish this one as quick as possible. It's very, you know, maybe 10 minutes discussion in connection with what we discussed last night, seeking, and the continuation of seeking in Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. This is a messianic passage. In other words, this passage fulfilled in Jesus. Peter quotes this one in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 25. He cites this passage, Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. But I'd like to really highlight this one verse. I have kept you always before me. Because the Lord is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. It's very powerful. You know, I ask this question. David was a shepherd boy. Somewhere in the rural area. You know, when his brothers were serving the country, he was going after his father's sheep. How did he become so powerful? How did he become so prominent? Even after 3,000 years, we talk about David. You know, you go to Jerusalem, you go to Judea, whole of Judea. The name David is so prominent. Some religious Jews are still looking forward for the kingdom of David being reestablished. And I ask the question, how did this, you know, insignificant, ordinary village boy become so powerful? I think the secret is this. He learned right from the beginning to keep the Lord always before him. What do we mean by keeping the Lord or setting the Lord always before us? Is it spatial? It is something like, I'm sitting here, I'm going to keep Lord here. Probably not. It is not spatial, but it is prominence. It is making God the most prominent person in your life. We all have prominent people in our life. I have here in Dallas few prominent people. When I want to make a decision, I don't really make a decision myself. First, I talk to my wife, talk to children, and their knowledge of the area we want to make decisions in probably is not that strong. So I would call my friend in San Antonio. I would call and say, hey, I'm trying to make a decision like this. What do you think? Because he is my prominent person. He is a significant person in my life. There is another person I call all the time. I would say, what do you think about this? Because he's my good friend, a close confidant. David, right from the beginning, he learned to keep Jehovah, God, as his prominent person. Probably the closest to him, the one who was so close to him. And David was also a wise, not having a close person from his family or from his village, because their knowledge of everything is so limited. But he kept none other than Lord himself as his prominent person. That is possible for you and me. You know, you can make God as your Lord. Not that he is going to lord over you, but he will become a prominent person for you. You know, I have seen in my ministry life, you know, January 1st was the day I committed my life for full-time ministry. In 1980, you know, 87, December 31st and January 1st of 1988. I have seen several people in rural area, in urban setup, in the metro setup. People call Jesus Christ, but Jesus is not the prominent person in their life. They become the prominent person of their life. In the sense, they make decisions on their own, including myself. And their decisions are always made with, you know, what they have, what they know, and, you know, within the reach of their rationality and their ability. That is why we are what we are. We are not what David was. But David was a shepherd boy. He learned from his young age to make God as his prominent person. He attempted everything, not within his ability, but within the ability of Jehovah. Is there anything impossible with God? Not at all. It's a rhetorical question. Nothing is impossible with God. Everything is possible for Him. So He stood before Goliath. All others were thinking, man, this is a small boy. You know, I was in that place where this whole incident took place, a place called Elah Valley. It's a dry area. But Goliath probably was standing on the top of the hills, and he was down because he was collecting the pebbles. But when God is with him, or when God was with him, Goliath was nothing. He said, God gave me a bear that came to kill my sheep. The same God is going to give Goliath to my hand. He tried, to fight against Goliath with the strength from God. And when he was attempting several things, he always inquired, Lord, is this all right? You know, one of my favorite passages is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David had not become king at that time. He was in Philistia. When he had gone away to fight along with the king of Philistia, a group of Amalekites came and invaded the village, a place called Ziklag. They took all their family members, their possessions. And David came back home, and David was surrounded by his own army men, you know, his own friends. They were going to kill him. They said, you know, it is because of you we lost everything. And David, one side, he lost his family members. Other side, his own friends turning against him as his foes. They were going to tear him apart. And it says, he called Abiathar. He said, bring the ephod. And he inquired of the Lord. God, Jehovah, was his prominent person. He said, Lord, shall I go after them? God said, go after them. He went and he got everything. As he was coming back, people were singing, like, you know, David got the double portion. He not only recovered everything, but he also recovered all the things these people had taken from other places. That is the secret of David's success. He learned to keep God as the most prominent person in his life. Last night, we saw seeking God. It's very simple, but it is the most important. You know, one of the winning habits for us in this year is to learn to keep God as our prominent person. Because we don't know how we are going to face this. You know, it will be, for some of us, it will be easy. For a lot of us, it will be difficult. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't need to face this 2011 on our own. We can have a stronger and bigger hand, a stronger and bigger help. And also we can have someone who knows the future so well. We need to learn to keep God as a prominent person. That is my exhortation today. And the question is, how am I going to keep God as my prominent person? You know, what does it involve? It is a decision that we let God share our life. You know, our life sometimes is so private. You know, there are certain areas even our spouses do not know. We keep it so secret. But before God, there is nothing secret. You know, God tells through Samuel, when Samuel was talking to David's dad, and said, man looks at the face, but God looked deep inside of our heart. Nothing is hidden from God, because God is omniscient. He knows everything in and out. The best thing is to set God as our prominent person. That involves a decision to let him share our life. In other words, you know, give a little more lordship over your life. Give God a little more lordship. Let him
talk to you.
Let him help you, change the decision. But he has to share your lives. Don't keep it so private. You know, I'm not talking things in terms of, I'm not talking in abstract terms. How can I let God share my life? Is it possible God sharing our life? It is possible. I have seen several people where, you know, their life is, you know, shared by God. God shares their life. In other words, when they want to make a decision, they don't immediately say, this is what it is. This is where I am going. This is how it is. Instead, they say, let me just wait on the Lord. Let me just wait on the Lord. And when they have they have blessings, maybe financial blessing or other blessings, when God comes and tells them, you know, when they share their life, they let God have control over their bank account. They have let God have control over their resources. Let God have a little bit more sharing power in your life. And, you know, what does making God always before us mean? It causes us to run by Him for every decision we make. It causes us to run by Him for every decision that we make. You know, my family is in a time of transition. You know, in a normal sense, I would be just going around trying to make all sorts of foolish mistakes. I have done it. And I can count my life was full of, you know, wrong decisions. Going after things, and I, initially it would be all right, just to satisfy myself, because my worry is, what shall I eat, where shall I live, what will I drink, you know, how much I will have, will I be able to take care of my family, not realizing it is not me ultimately who is taking care of my family, it is God who is going to reward, so I have to let Him have a little bit more control over my life, and I should run by Him. Sometime He may be quiet. He may be quiet. I have heard people saying they have been praying, but God seems to be quiet. But it is all right. If God is quiet, that means He is actively involved in our lives. He is not giving us answer. Not giving us answer is an answer. Is that God is saying, wait. Bible says in Isaiah 40, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You continue waiting on the Lord, you renew your strength. And you run by Him for every decision you make. Not just go and say, okay, this morning 7 to 8:30, I'm going to just pray and run by Him. No, wait on Him. Waiting involves time. When you are in a relationship with God, you will know when He moves, when He stops, when He is quiet, when He is asking you to make a decision, He will do it because He is our Father. Otherwise, you know, there is no point relating to Him as our God. Don't always make decisions based on your finance. Some of you may have a lot of money. Some of you may not have a lot of money. Some of you may have a lot of education. Some of you may not have. In the same way, influence. Don't depend on your money, your education, your influence. Instead, run by our Father who will just walk with us. What does setting God before us mean? He becomes the lens by which we look at the world. He becomes the filter. You know, everything that you see, you see through God. I think that is what we see in David's life. David ran by God for every decision he made. And David shared with God his life. And the other one is, God becomes his lens, a filter through which he was viewing the world. And you and me can do it. You know, there is a very popular phrase, what would Jesus do? And if we can really ask this question, how would God handle this situation? You know, we will be better off. You know, I get angry. And I can only get angry with my family members or my very close friends. And I'm just still thinking, I need to learn in this year to see how God will handle certain situations. He should become our lens. For that, we need to know the Word. The Word tells how God handles this world. God loves this world so much. You know, my popular story is Jonah. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh. And he thought God was going to destroy this world, failing to realize or see the world in God's eyes. He wanted the people in Nineveh to be killed and punished. But God recanted. And he failed to see, you know, at the end of the book, it's brilliantly written, there was a rebuke over Jonah. He failed to see God, how God sees. Sometimes we can be so judgmental. Will God judge others? That is why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not. You know, the same criteria by which you judge others will be used against you. You know, we are too quick to make such decisions, you know, or judgments. We need to be judgmental. But we have to make judgments based on the God standard. And God should become the lens through which we see the world. Is it possible? It is. The more you close to Him, the more you seek Him every day, you become better in discernment. Who to choose as your spouse? How to treat your children? How to handle your finance? You know, how to make decision? God helps you. And finally, you know, when God is before you, when you have set God before you, when He becomes the prominent person in your life, you run to Him for cover in the time of difficulty. That is why the psalm starts like this. Keep me safe, O God, for in You I take refuge. And I'm sure a lot of us have learned to take refuge in God. And when God becomes the prominent person in our life, that is one of the greatest advantage we have, is we can go and take comfort in Him, protection in Him. And may this be our thought for 2011. First one is seeking God every day. It involves effort, energy. And I even suggested to my son in his dorm, write down and put it in the mirror. And every day when you get up, you ask the Lord, Lord, how can I seek You today? Sometimes He will tell you. You read Scripture, guide you to places, and you seek Him. Because the promise is, when you seek God, you will find Him. You know, before I became a believer, I was involved in excessive idol worship. Tuesday and Friday, I used to go to temples. And anything and everything that I saw, I would just worship. If someone said, that is God, I would worship. But deep inside, I had a desire to know God. I wanted to find, you know, experience God. And God led me. And this has been my experience. When we seek Him, you will find Him. And you learn to set God always before you. More than anyone else, more than your spouse, more than your father, mother, more than anything else, make God as your prominent person. And when you do that, your life will be so protected, not in the absence of difficulties, but you have someone who will walk with you, guide you, and He will let you see the world through His eyes, through His perspective. And I call this one winning attitude. And we will discuss about this winning attitude maybe in the month of January, several winning attitude. And let 2011 be a God-centered year, not self-centered year. Yesterday also, I suggested this, that we seek God for who He is, not for our selfish reasons. We can tell Him, Lord, I feel about certain things, this is what I'm going through. But every day, seek God, because He's our Father. And may He be the prominent person of our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the testimony of David, that he earlier on decided to keep You as the prominent person in his life. I set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. In the same way, Heavenly Father, You help us to keep You as our prominent person. And You teach us, Lord, how to do that. And may this year be a year centered around You. Our talk, our decision, our distribution of our resources, everything be centered around You, Heavenly Father. We know when we seek You and when we keep You as our prominent person, all the things we go after will be taken care of, because you are our Father who sees us in secret. We worship You in Jesus' name.